Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Steelers, black and the gold.
Here we go.
This town of Pittsburgh's heart and soul.
Here we go.
The Steeler Nation has the best fans. We are from Pittsburgh, the six-time Super Bowl champ.
Here we go. Here we go.
Is ready to win.
Here we go.
With Gainwell, Metcalf, and Calvin Austin.
Here we go.
We'll go to war and then we need a touchdown. And if you get in his way, he's gonna knock you around.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Steelers, here we go. Pittsburgh's gone to the Super.
The offense is ready to score.
Here we go.
And there's one thing we know for sure.
Here we go.
If we don't get it in the end zone, we'll get 3 points off of Boswell's toe.
Here we go. Here we go.
Smith, Watt, and Hayward.
Here we go.
Queen and Ramsey and Joey Jr.
Here we go.
The other team won't gain any ground because the defense is gonna bring the steel curtain down.
Here we go. Here we go.
Of Kabali and Matt. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. I am Chris Mack. He is Mark Kabali. You could not see it while the Here We Go song was playing, but Kaboom was actually doing a little dance.
No,
I saw him doing a little jig.
It was
jig is up. The news is out. Kabali is dancing.
It was more like.
Come on, it's the playoffs, Mark.
It was more like, can you get a more Yinzer opening than that? Was that your handiwork?
It was. The song is Roger Woods' handiwork, obviously. Everybody knows that. Epic work by him, as it is every year, replacing the names. And come on, you got to be fired. There is no better time to be a Pittsburgher than the playoffs.
I think I'm a little embarrassed.
You, please, quit being a curmudgeon.
A curmudgeon?
You're an old, if they had ink for newspapers anymore, the ones that still exist, that sucks. If they had ink for newspapers anymore, you'd be an ink-stained wretch, they call it. An ink-stained curmudgeon. Come on.
We could have just did like 5 seconds of it, right?
No, you can't do five. You got to play the whole damn thing so you get everybody's names in and you get the defense at the end. Come on, buddy. Let's go. Wild card game, ooh, Monday night.
Yay.
We're fired up. I need to see you be happy about this.
Come on. Would I be happy about this? It's only like playoff game number 39 I've seen. It's so? Game number like almost 400 I've seen. What is there to be excited about?
I will run down the numbers again like I did the other day.
I'm not excited.
Excited? First home playoff game in 5 years, okay?
Yay.
First home playoff game with people in the building in what, 9 years?
Yay.
Okay.
I was at a playoff game last year, and who cares?
Oh, my God. That was
I was at a playoff game
wasn't
the year before
Heinz
that.
Filled?
I was at a playoff game the year before that. I think I
wasn't it Heinz Field?
I took a toboggan. To the Buffalo. That, now, that was miserable. How many times they canceled that game and how many times I had to cancel a hotel room.
Look.
All right. Yay. I'm happy. Yay.
No look at it this way. You want to get excited? You want to get happy about this year's wild card game? You don't have to fly anywhere. You don't have to drive through the snow. You don't have to change hotel reservations. It's all right down the road.
Hey.
Come on.
Yeah,
well, Monday night, the whole world will be watching Pittsburgh. Get you a little excited. For.
I don't know what you want me to do. I said yay.
All right.
Roger Wood.
Guy I want you to dance four, like you were while the song was playing before people could see you.
The guy changes four words and made a living off of it.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic. I love it. It's the best. It's one of the best parts of Pittsburgh and being
now,
a Steelers
now,
fan.
Now, does the Steelers hashtag of here we go based yep. off of Roger Wood, or is Roger Wood's song based off of the hashtag, here we go?
Roger Wood wrote the song long before hashtags existed.
No, I'm not quite sure if here we go was a Steeler rallying cry before Roger Wood or after Roger Wood. You tell me, you think he invented here we go?
No, he didn't invent here we go. Here we go was the rallying cry of Steelers fans going way back to the
That's what 70s. I'm saying.
Here we go, Steelers.
That's what my
here
point was.
Yeah. So nobody claims ownership of here we go, even if it's the Steelers official hashtag on social media.
I'll be honest with you. There's some bad hashtags around the NFL. Bolt up. How was that?
That sounds a little dirty.
Bolt up.
Got my bolt up. Ready to go.
Ravens flock.
Houston's isn't much better. H-Town Made, I think, is what it is. Even though the original Houston franchise is now in Tennessee.
Houston. Now, that's a fight song. Houston Oilers, number one. Houston
so
Oilers.
Hold on.
Houston Oilers.
You would take that over Here We Go by Roger Wood?
Oh, that and Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins.
Same song.
It's the same song.
What about San Diego Superchargers? You remember
San
that one?
They're not San Diego anymore.
I know. So it doesn't, it's not relevant.
Somebody just recently sent me a clip of Mike Tomlin at a press conference bringing up Jacob Klinger's name. And I was like, hey, that was from San Diego Soccer Stadium.
Press Duck conference. Hodges game?
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow. Wonder what Duck's going to do for the game Monday
by
night.
By the way, you see the Rap Sheet v. Schefter feud?
No, I didn't. I heard someone on the radio yesterday as I was driving to work talking about a source-off between two insiders, but I didn't hear who they were talking about. Explain the story to me. What's going on between Rap Sheet and Schefter?
One says that Harbaugh lost their locker room, and the other one says he didn't. And I mentioned to somebody who will go unnamed about this, and they said two guys shilling for their own people. I'm like, you got about right. Two shills.
mean, those they should just have it out. They should duke it out in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, I think so. I think when I saw it, somebody said at the combine, you better watch the Starbucks and the old JW.
Who was it last year? Jordan Schultz and...
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
And Rap Sheet.
Oh, and Rappaport. Yeah, that's right.
I think he cowered like a little turtle.
Oh, them's fighting words. Rap Sheet.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'm pretty sure that he did, is what I hear. Sources said.
I still think, look, they're both friends of Pat and the boys. They should just have them both there and have it out right there in the Thunderdome.
A source off
right there. Thanks to our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. That's why Kaboom is not in his usual location.
They're downstairs. They're right downstairs about two levels. Got here at 7 a.m.
Wow.
And you know, I think they're really ripping through it pretty nicely, too.
So what kind of color did you decide on, or did you let them do all the hard work, or did you have nothing to do with
some sort of beige and with a green accent? I don't know what the hell's going on.
I'm looking forward to seeing it next time you're down there
for the show. Yeah, they're ripping it out now.
They do great work. You want to have them in your house doing great work, they'll do it for you. Interior, they'll do exterior painting as well. If you own your own business, commercial, industrial, they do it all. The drywall repair beforehand, the color consultation, if you're into that and you need it done, they'll do it all from top to bottom, front to back. Higgins Professional Painting. Give them a call or check them out online to schedule your free estimate, 412-344-0480 or higginsprofessional.com. Once they're done with the spacious Kabali estate, they'll maybe be able to get over to your place or my place.
7 a.m. and I look outside at 6:45 and they're raring to go. They ain't pissing around.
So we talked about this game just a little bit on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't think much has changed about the way we look at this game between now and then, and probably won't much change about it between now and Monday night either. This is about two defenses that love to get after the quarterback, two defenses that love to force turnovers, and which quarterback I think can handle that pressure better and handle the, for lack of a better way to put it, shit that's going to get thrown at him. We've seen Rodgers be very effective this year when he gets rid of the ball quickly. Now, there have been games. We'll cite the Browns game, the second Browns game, the loss in Cleveland, as a game where maybe getting the ball out quickly didn't work in their favor all the time, but there was no DK Metcalf in that game. So that is a huge difference between this game and that game. They have faced quality pass rushes and quality defenses a couple times this year. I don't know if you can think of a better comparable as far as defense goes for what they're going to see Monday night to what they may have already faced this year.
Maybe not this year. Maybe the old James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, like Taylor days of a decade or 15 years ago, very similar to that, but maybe not this year. I mean, the Steelers got obviously good edge rushers, but don't think for a second that Tomlin isn't using this as motivation either, because I did hear him yesterday, and the exact words were, "I'm getting sick and effing tired of talking about these edge rushers. This game's won in the trenches." And he was telling his guys that as they were warming up. So he's now pushing it back on them is, hey, this is the best edge rushers. Let's show them who the best edge rushers are, because he knows that front seven, whoever plays the best, maybe even not in the front seven, maybe the front four, is going to end up having a good chance of winning this game. I mean,
this is
who's going to be better? Who knows? I mean, like you said, I like Aaron Rodgers' ability to get rid of the ball quickly, but that not if he gets rid of it too quickly, does it affect their ability to move the ball? Is what you have to worry about.
Yeah, I believe in this offensive line, though. You go back through Aaron Rodgers' last 10 full seasons, and this is the second fewest number of sacks I think that he's taken in a season. 29 in the regular season this year. He took 20 in the 2020 year.
Not many over the past, I want to say seven or since he's come back. I think he's had a couple threes, but he hasn't had big losses. You know what I'm saying? They're like 6-yard losses. They're not like 18-yard losses and stuff like that. So the numbers are decent over the past 7 or 8 games, but the yards lost is, you know, minimal.
Yeah, in the 6 games since he came back from the hand wrist injury, he's been sacked 10 times. So, you know.
Average of maybe 5 yards a loss, which is relatively nothing.
Yeah, because, it's not like he's taking 7-step drops and looking to chuck the ball 40 yards downfield. That rarely happens. Even when he does get the ball downfield, it's usually on a back shoulder or a fade of some sort, or unless somebody opens up in the middle. He's not hanging out back there. Now, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, there have been a couple games this year where the Steelers have given him a ton of time to stand back there and deal from the pocket. And if they are able to do that more often than not Monday night, I think Rodgers could have a field day. And look, it's probably not likely with Hunter and Anderson as good as they are. I'm sure they'll get there at least once or twice. But as long as it doesn't become a feast for those two guys, and we're talking about 4, 5, 6 sacks or more, I think the Steelers have a good chance to score some points.
You know, I think that Texans play defense how the Steelers wanted to play defense coming in here. Pressure, man coverage, nobody open leads to sacks. So those two are very talented, going to put pressure on him. But if there's no place to throw the ball, then that just complicates things as well, which leads to these receivers are going to have to find a way to get open as well. And is DK Metcalf the elixir? I don't know, but he sure the hell helps.
I'll be curious to see how they use Gainwell, especially, but Gainwell and Warren out of the backfield. I mean, that's been kind of the...
He had the old mask on yesterday, the old surgical mask.
Ooh. Well, you don't want to get sick this time of year. Everybody's getting sick.
I think he is. I think he has a little bit of an illness and didn't want to give it to anybody else, so he's wearing those paper masks that has been proven not to work. So I'm quite sure that. I don't know if you want to. I don't know. You know, you think the Steelers would use those N95s or something, right? Or
whatever. I don't know, Fauci. I don't know. But
I'm using one of those plastic surgical masks. Isn't that proven not to work?
I don't know. I stopped paying attention to masks like 4.5, 5 years ago, man.
Oh, what a terrible time in our history as human beings having to wear a mask while buying freaking Captain Crunch and freaking butter. Jesus Christ. Going down one lane at the Shop and Save. And oh, man.
Do you walk into places still and see where they still have the stickers on the floor?
Yes. You know, I used to get really upset when people would walk down the wrong way. What are you doing? You see those damn arrows? And now I'm thinking, what the hell am I thinking? Reminds me of the damn mayor of New York. It was saying, get your shot. You can have a burger.
All right. Enough with you.
That's one of the best things. I mean, we're going to be 100 years old. Not me, but you. And still see that.
What? You're not going to live to be 100?
Oh, come on now. And you're gonna see that clip and saying, what the hell is humanity like back in 2020? Burgers for shots.
We'll have stories to tell. But back to Kenneth Gainwell.
Tell me a fries component to this?
Back to Kenneth Gainwell. I'm curious to see how the Texans try to cover him out of the backfield. I mean, they've got two decent linebackers, right? They've got To'o and Al Shaair, two names that I'm sure you'll butcher, so I won't ask you to repeat them.
He played for Cleveland last year, right? Or no, Cincinnati.
I thought To'o was in.
He was somewhere. He was in somewhere in the division.
It doesn't matter.
Isn't he one that got suspended for doing something not very nice?
Aziz Al-Shaair. Yeah,
didn't he drill somebody?
I forget what happened.
He's an All-Pro, isn't he?
I mean, they're both good, but I want to see if they can run downfield with a Kenny Gainwell, because to your point. If this is about the Texans trying to take away Metcalf with I imagine, you know, some sort of double team or bracket most of the time, I'm sure they'll put Derek Stingley on him. and then they'll use Kamari Lassiter on the other side. They've got good cover corners, guys that get after the ball too. If they take away guys, the receivers, I want to see what's going to happen with the backs and the tight ends. This is what Arthur Smith offense was built for.
I was going to say, you mean how they've moved the ball the entire season?
Yeah, basically.
Shouldn't change now, you wouldn't think, with Gainwell, Warren, Muth. Jonnu Smith would actually show up. And
you would hope not. You would hope they go into it with a similar idea of, okay, we'll test things on the outside and with the receivers, but if they're not going to give us anything there, then we know we have the backs and the tight ends to get the ball to in the short to intermediate route. Tomlin said it the other day, and I think we mentioned it too. It's the best run after the catch team in the league if you go by yardage this year.
Yeah. I mean, don't underestimate what Calvin Austin brings to the table too. A healthy Calvin Austin now pushes everybody else down the rung a little bit, that makes Adam Thielen and MVS and Scotty Miller. I don't even know if Scotty Miller would get a helmet now I think about it. I guess you have to.
Austin, Thielen, and then Skoranek. Miller or MVS.
I mean, MVS and Skoranek, right? But pushes them down, so now sudden Thielen gets to do what he does best. But they're going to have to run the ball too. I mean, I'd like to see them come out and just run the ball. They really haven't committed to the run where a game where they were just hand it. They haven't quite did that yet. I don't know if this is conducive to that, but
I think they could have opportunities to run it inside. I mean, Anderson and Hunter are both pretty good against the run. Not just, you know, they're not just pass rush specialists. They're both decent at setting the edge. But I think Sheldon Rankins is one of their inside guys, and a couple of guys that work inside for them. Danico Autry as well. I think they, with the way they have blocked the offensive line over the last, 6 weeks, I think they can run the ball, even though the numbers would tell you that the Texans are one of the better teams in the league against the run. I've said it all year. I believe firmly that the game plan should start with, like you just said, setting a tone with the run game, get Warren going, and then force things to loosen up a little bit on the back end, because they start dropping safeties down into the box and things like that to try and shut down the run.
You have to be careful too, because you don't want to totally take the ball out of the hands of your best offensive player. You know who that is. Old number 08. So it's a fine line, as Bill Cowher would say. But I wouldn't even anticipate them doing, you know, just totally running the ball. I mean, you have to be able to put the ball in the hands of one of your best players, and that would be – and trust him, and Aaron Rodgers, and I think they'll be able to do that.
I also think DK Metcalf could be primed too, even though he does have a quality corner across from him.
Yeah.
To have a massive game. Like, you know,
well, you would assume so. You would assume he's pissed off, right?
He should be.
Pissed off and what's another word I'm looking for? Pissed off and relieved all at the same time.
Yeah, he damn near cost him a playoff spot. I mean, so they got in and he gets to come back and play some more. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that first series has got one of those quick hitters to DK Metcalf just to get the ball in his hands and see if he can make something happen after the catch. One of those, hey, catch it at the line of scrimmage, turn it into 7 yards kind of deal. And if somebody misses a tackle, you take off. But it is. It's going to be absolutely instrumental that Rodgers gets rid of the ball quickly against this pass rush. And they've shown that they're able to do that. I have a question about somebody who I think you spoke to yesterday. But first, I want to thank our good friends at the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area? Maybe both. They're there to help you out. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. They'll take as much of the stress off your plate as they can in what can be a very stressful experience, buying and or selling a home. You check out listings right now at Heck Team Homes as well. heckteamhomes.com, the Dan Heck team, looking to help you in the Pittsburgh area. If you're buying or selling a home, we appreciate their support as well. Arthur Smith spoke yesterday. Kaboom. And he was asked about the Tennessee Titans, having some interest in interviewing him for the head coaching position, which he can't do until, what, at the earliest next Wednesday, I believe. And it would have to be virtually anyway. Do you think this is legit interest from the Titans? Or do you think this is, hey, we're going to interview seven or eight guys just to say we did our due diligence, but they've got their eyes set on someone else?
Yeah, I would imagine they have their eyes set on somebody else. I wouldn't think that Arthur Smith would be the top of the organization, but he was there before, right? And he knows, I guess he knows the owner, right? I don't think, I think the same lady was owning.
Yep, Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, so she might have liked him. But, you know, what holds, I think, Arthur Smith back is not his ability to lead, not his ability to know X's and O's, not his ability to be able to put together a team, but the guy just seems so nervous when he's talking. You know what I'm saying? It almost like, do you want him to be, if he goes in there and interviews with somebody like he talks to us, are you going to hire him?
I don't
know. That's the thing. No, maybe he just gets nervous and he's different in a different setting. He, you know, because he's only so certain things he could say to us, and he doesn't want to overstep his bounds. But I think that might be the only thing that holds him back. He seems like a typical guy, and you know, talking to him off the, you know, just on the side, he's not like that. But sometimes, you know, you get in front of a group like that, and it's like, you know, who knows? He.
It's an intimidating bunch. You, Tim Benz, Jerry Dulac.
Just being able to, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I think that's the only thing that would hold him back. I mean, I don't think he would be a very good interviewer.
Well, I don't know about that. I think what would hold him back would be his track record when he was a head coach. Like that would give me pause if I were looking to hire someone. And I think the thing that benefits him, though, is that I don't know if it's necessarily a deep crop of potential head coaches out there. Like, you tend to hear all the same names getting recycled over and over, and I don't know if anybody really stands out as someone who can walk in the door and instantly have a great impact.
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say that Tennessee job is perfect for Mike McCarthy, wouldn't you?
Oh, Mike McCarthy.
He seems like he would fit in there nice. The guy that's been there, done that, needs some stability there because that team is a mess. I mean, another thing with Arthur Smith is, do you want to go to that mess? I mean, anybody, do you want to go into that mess?
It's a mess he knows, like you said, as far as knows the organization and how it operates.
Yeah, it's a messy roster too.
Yeah, the roster is, for the most part, a disaster.
Yes. I mean, you got a quarterback who may or may not be good. I don't know. But, you know, is he really interested? I know he was not interested in any college job, but he never really said anything about a pro job. I mean, he didn't really say anything yesterday either, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, just because he didn't come out and denounce it doesn't mean that he's not angling for an extension. You know what I'm saying? Here, who knows?
Yeah, like I said, he can't even interview, and it would be virtually until next Wednesday at the earliest. So we'll see where it goes from there. I'd be curious to see what the Steelers would do if he did get a job somewhere else. We can get into that a little bit later. I want to get back to Monday night's game with a guy who is an expert, played quarterback in the league. He's down in Houston, Texas. The great Sean Salisbury joins us now. Sean, good morning. How are you, man?
Morning. Great to be on with you guys, man. Honored. I don't know if too many use great before my name, but I'll take it when I can milk it, guys. So good to be on with you. And absolutely. I guess we can still say New Year since it's the first day. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. Thanks for giving us some time. Check out Sean's show on YouTube, Unpaved with Sean Salisbury. Great stuff there. Lots of breakdowns on everything going on in the entire world of football. But you are down in Texas, down in Houston, Sean, and it's the perfect time to have you on to talk about Steelers, Texans. And we've laid it out a couple times this week. It seems fairly obvious. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I think the winner of this game is just who's quarterback is able to withstand the opposing defense's pressure which could force them into mistakes, whether it's sacks that Rodgers may take, picks that Stroud may throw. As you look at this game and the matchups initially, how's it look to you?
Yeah, I'm with you guys 100%. Both teams have had their what the hell's wrong this year, right? I mean, and I'll just go back to my time. I know it's been a while, but I can never remember a time playing the Pittsburgh Steelers that didn't matter what the result was, that you didn't come out of it feeling like you just had your ass kicked, whether you won the game or not. And then again, I played in the old Three Rivers Stadium where it was like playing in the parking lot, which we all, the old school turf, right? But yeah, you always knew you were in a body blow fist fight, right? Where could you take what they, you know, put out physical. And I think for a lot of us, offensively and defensively, for me, for the Steelers side, we know they upgraded at quarterback, but the struggles of dominating the line of scrimmage on both sides, they've always done that. And here's the catch of this. While the Texans are playing out of their mind right now, especially defensively, can you go on the road in an environment, while it's not been the Steelers that we expect in the past statistically, there's still that feeling with those great fans there, which I love, walking in there. You have to earn a victory against the Steelers. I do believe that. So, and I'm with you on the quarterback play. Guys, if you'd have told me that the Texans will be in this position 9 weeks ago, I would have laughed at you, because they weren't doing, aside from defense, offense was struggling, another rookie play caller. So it does come down to, I think the Texans right now, if you lined them up, not by reputation, but just by this year, the Texans are the more physical team right now on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with the edge rushers. We know Aaron knows how to manipulate defenses, but you got to keep both quarterbacks upright. And that's been a problem for the Texans on the other side. When they start slow and get their quarterback hit, their offense completely changes. When their defense sets the tempo and they can play ahead, they're a whole different team. Quarterback play will be fine, but it's the guys who keep them upright will be the difference. And I do believe in this game, the Steelers, I don't think, guys, that they're with the lack of explosive, consistent weapons, I don't think they can line up at their own 25 and go 75 yards. I'm a Raider fan. So even though I live in Houston, and you know what that means, I've been struggling for a while. So I'm looking for a great game. I just don't think the Steelers can go 75 yards five times grinding it out. Somehow, some way, they're going to have to take a slant 70 yards and make a chunk play or two. The Texans defense is not that, what you see statistically. They may even be better than their statistics. Offensive football will be the key this week. I know both teams will get after it defensively, even though statistics say the Steelers have struggled at times.
Now, Sean, Aaron Rodgers, 42 years old, has more experience playing in playoff games than every other quarterback in the AFC combined. How much a factor do you think that has in this game, that he's been there, done that so long, even though he is 42 and obviously, you know, on the back end of his right career?
You know, it's old saying, I don't know if it's among us quarterbacks, I don't even know who started it, but just when you figure it out mentally, you can't do it anymore physically. Well, Aaron's one of those freak shows that still can. His skill set may be different as far as the escapability, but he still gets it because he understands pre-snap what to do with it. I think it's a great point. I've gone back and forth with this. Is naive, you know, you go into a place naive and not really knowing how big this stage is supposed to be, playoff game in Pittsburgh in January, whether you're a home or a visiting team, not knowing how big it is. Sometimes being naive and not knowing that there's pressure can help. But I do believe going back and forth, experience is huge, especially when you get to this point in the year. But experience gets knocked in the mouth if you get knocked in the mouth early and you're playing from behind and you got to play desperate football. So that's going to help, but I do. As good as Stroud's been at times, he's getting back into it. He had his struggles last year and at times this year and the injury. There's no doubt playoff, just the mental from the neck up favors Pittsburgh and Aaron, because if they're playing in sync, Aaron will know where to throw it. The question is, will he have time to do it, and can they separate and do what they want to do? And the one thing, they're going to have to at least go without abandoning the run. They're going to have to stay committed to it, because if you let that defense tee off, as good as Aaron is mentally, he just won't have time to get the ball to him, because they're edge rushers. Danielle Hunter may be the most underrated player in football, too. Mm-hmm. That guy's unbelievable. So if you're asking me, through all this, I still think the Steelers could win. But with Rodgers' experience does matter. Going on the road outdoors will matter. And I don't know what the weather's supposed to be right now, guys, for that game. It's Monday, and I know, you know, things can change. Yeah. But I can tell you, physicality will be the one. Physicality and line of scrimmage, because neither offense scares you to death with their performance this year, but we all know they're both capable with quarterbacks of having that game.
Let me flip it to the other side of the ball then, Sean, and the Texans run game. I know they've consistently, they've turned more to Woody Marks lately over the back third of the season or so, rather than Nick Chubb. But and they've consistently fed him, but there haven't really been any breakout performances. None of those big, long runs. I think he's averaging under 4 yards a carry. The offense as a whole is under 4 yards a carry. Is there a worry that, conversely, as much as we're talking about, and I think it's a valuable point to talk about the Steelers, if they can't run and they become one-dimensional, what happens to a 42-year-old quarterback with Hunter and Anderson breathing down his neck? What happens to Stroud? You already brought up the whole atmosphere around the game. If Stroud's in the midst of that atmosphere on Monday night, towels are twirling, people going nuts, and then all of a sudden they can't run the ball anymore, and Watt and Highsmith and Herbig and Hayward are teeing off on him, is there a worry that Stroud could look a little spooked as well?
Hell yes. Well, you saw from last year, even going into this year, his rookie year, he was outstanding. Then last year, got hit in the mouth a bunch. And you saw it affect his game. And even early this year, the ball was coming out prematurely. We like urgency to get the ball out on time. But sometimes that feeling like, man, watching the pass rush, got to get out because you did not trust your line. And they're still working through that. Listen, the biggest weakness, I mean, the Texans have gotten better. But it's all about those five cats up front for them offensively. And you are 100% correct. If they come out and they're up 14-3 and they're hitting Stroud in the mouth, it has affected the Texans offense. Listen, one of the bigger weaknesses in this game is could the Texans come and play from behind if they're getting hit in the mouth? They've got potential offensively, a lot of young receivers. Nico Collins, hell, when you put all the best players, he may be the best beast on the field when things are going right. He can play. But yes, I think the offensive line for the Texans dictates the game, because if they are one-dimensional, they become very average. Listen, most quarterbacks become average when you're one-dimensional. You just do, especially you got a rookie play caller. When I say rookie, in his first playoff game as a play caller in Nick Caley. So I do. Now, I'm going to tell you this about Woody Marks. You know, when Joe Mixon went out, I think a lot of people were concerned about that nastiness that he brought. And then Chubb's been up and down. Marks has given them the wiggle, guys. And I always look at games like this. It's not usually the yards from your running back, although you'd like to run for 200 like Derrick Henry did, 10 days ago. But where it comes from is attempts. And I know people say, what are you talking about, Sean? If you look weekly at the numbers, the team that runs the ball more. Now, we're not at a time where, they were out in front by 14. Nobody cares. There's so many sideways screen game and bubble screens that people are throwing it down the field with a 21-point lead, and people are still running it when they're down 2.5 touchdowns because – you know, if you don't want to abandon it. So I do believe they have to run it. But Woody Marks, what he's done by the attempts in a game and not abandoning it, you still have to defend play action. And I think that's where the big plays will come out of this week, especially for the Texans. Play action, if they're running it early and that if Pittsburgh wants to get nosy, that's where they're going to take their shots, and they're capable because they've got some good young receivers. But yes, 100%. But Woody Marks is an upgrade because he's doing what they haven't had in a minute. Three down back. That's got wiggle that you can spread out and get him the ball in space, but still enough impact where he can pound at the line of scrimmage. If they're not running the football, advantage Steelers, there's no doubt. But it goes both ways, because the best unit in this entire game, and maybe in the first entire round of the wild card round, the Houston Texans defense does not have a weakness. Mm-hmm. So I think the Pittsburgh may have to play their best offensive game this year, and conversely, the Texans have to play solid football. I'm not sure they have to play perfect football offensively with the way their defense plays, which is usually the way in years past and all the years I've been covering it is how we're talking about the Steelers defense. But guys, I wouldn't be taking the over in this game if that was me. Let's just put it that way.
Sean, we talk about the edge rushers. We talk about the matchup at the offensive line, the quarterbacks. But how big of a matchup is DK Metcalf versus Stingley? And then maybe the trickle-down effect of what it can take away from some of the Steelers' other receivers who may not be, wide receiver too capable.
Yeah, that's a great point. Stingley is physical. He'll jump up and thump you in a run game. And you have to be physical with that big fellow, you can carve him out of stone and DK Metcalf. But the one thing about it is the consistency with DK separating, right? The one, when you get a big body like that, I know if this is going to sound weird, but a lot of times big bodies like that, you, if you can get up underneath them, and you know, it's like anything, you're a little tall, there's more to hit, I guess is what I'm saying. And so you can try to get him off his mark. But I think it's a great matchup because I don't think the Steelers can go win this game if DK Metcalf's non-existent. I think they're, you almost have to force feed. I don't care if it's a hitch screen and get him going, a now screen, or get him the ball in space early. But it's a great matchup because Stingley won't back down. And you made a great point about others. I always think in games like this, and we've seen guys in the Super Bowl every year, there's always got to be somebody who we don't expect is a star to be knowing that, okay, what's the focus? If you're going to stop the passing game right now, pressure Rodgers and don't let Metcalf have a 10-catch, 165-yard game. That's what you're going against. So if you can put your best defensive player or defensive back Stingley on him and he at least limits it, may not stop it, but limits it, now who? And I think that's what the Texans will go into, and they have – their defense has been sensational. I don't think they think they're going to need a lot of help in that matchup. If they do, you roll somebody over the top, you're still going to expect Aaron to get the ball in zone to somebody else. I think it's a great matchup, maybe even underrated playoff matchup, because I don't think people are not giving the Steelers the respect, and maybe it's been earned in the passing game, even though Rodgers is a legend at it. Maybe this is the game it busts out, but I do think DK Metcalf got paid. We need a DK Metcalf Seattle Seahawk at his best performance in this one, which will help the run game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and which will also limit, and the ball's going to have to come out quick, we'll limit those edge rushers and Anderson and Hunter from making it tough on Aaron to throw the ball on time.
Conversely, if Nico Collins, I don't think you can take him out of a game, obviously, but if he gets somewhat neutralized by Joey Porter Jr., the Texans have done a great job of developing secondary weapons. I mean, Dalton Schultz leads the team in catches. Steelers have done better against tight ends in the last third of the season this year, but you got the young guys out of Iowa State and Higgins, Noel, Christian Kirk as well. What's Stroud's ability that if Nico gets locked up, he's going to be able to work off of that and still pick up chunks?
Yeah, I think that has been a great development for this team this year. You go in and you're a little nervous as a weakness because these young guys don't really know how to, they don't know what they don't know. And when Nico Collins has gone through either an injury in the past or they've lost due to injury other receivers, they've had, two or three guys step up and the two young ones step up, which has been invaluable for them going into this. Because if you'd asked me this question at the beginning of the year, I'd have said, you take Nico Collins away, and with the way the offensive line is, the Houston Texans are going to be stymied offensively. And I think because they'll get into more pillow fights, meaning, pillow fights as far as finesse offensive line than the physical, that nasty that we see old Steelers offensive lines and the best ones in the league, that even if you're not finessing somebody, you can still win a game because you're just better at it at a body blow fight. That's not been a Texan strength. So, the development, and that's what goes to the other guy. For the first time in my mind in a while, the consistency of the other guy on the Houston Texans has given them the confidence to think, and the play caller, that we can actually live and make things happen even if Nico Collins isn't the best player on the field on Monday night. So their advantage, put it this way, if you take away DK and Nico, where's the advantage? Texans offense, because the young guys have been a little bit better at the perimeter, but it's not a distinguished one. It's just going to come down in truth, because I'd still be, regardless of the numbers, if I'm the Houston Texans defense, if Aaron gets that feeling where he's 10 of 11 starting out and they're mixing in run, the Houston Texans will be challenged and it'll be tough. And it is going to be tough environment-wise, because the Steelers fans expect this to be the 75 Steelers and the 73 Steelers, even though it may not be realistic. It'll still be a challenge for the Texans offensively, because I expect to see better from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the other guy on Houston's offense right now for C.J. Stroud, I think is a tad bit more, has a little bit more tendency to make more big plays than right now the other guys not named the stars in Pittsburgh offensively.
Yeah, I know, Sean, they turned over the offensive line a little bit in the offseason. I'm guessing much needed. But did they are they living up to the expectations in your eyes? I know they've switched recently. I think a couple guys have went out. I mean, how do you think they've played?
Better. I'm still not sold that if you run into a team, if the Texans offense was playing, I use this, and even if they weren't playing the Steelers, it wouldn't matter who they were playing. I've said this, that if the Texans offense was playing this Texans defense, which may be an advantage for them because they practice against it, but we know how the card goes in scripting it. That it'd be great if it looked like it did on the board all the time. We'd all be great, and I'd still be. I'd have played 10 more years. But to me, if the Texans offense was playing the Texans defense, the Texans offense would get dominated physically. So, is it better than I saw last year at the line? Because you know, right tackle playing left guard, rookie left tackle, then you move them up. The mix and match can be great when you have a swing player who can play both sides. But when two or three guys in the continuity, listen, I tell people this all the time. We always talk about timing with a quarterback receiver. Listen, if a receiver misses 3 weeks or when Nico Collins didn't play last week, a curl is a curl is a curl. Okay, I'm throwing a 12-yard. I know where to throw it. Obviously, you develop relationships over the years. But I'm talking about in-game timing and continuity. The most important group is the five guys on the offensive line. Anywhere else, I can all receive, hey, we're running a 15-yard dig route. I'll find the window. You make sure you run it precise and dynamic. I'll throw it to you. Offensive line, those four guys can be kicking ass. The left tackle misses once or steps inside and gets a nice edge rusher on a nine technique. You're hosed. You're a hose. So they got to work together. And that's been the problem, the continuity or lack. Listen, when Philly won it last year, guys, what did we know every week? They're going to line up, punch you in the mouth, and they can rely on their offensive line. Good teams in the playoff. The team that wins the Super Bowl this year will not beat you finesse. They may be able to do it, but if you're finesse and get knocked around physical, you'll get beat. Kansas City had that happen to them in last year's Super Bowl. So with this, that's been the problem, is the continuity and consistency. I've seen flashes of a little bit of attitude, but what they've lacked is the ability. If you're standing around a pile, you're getting ear-holed by the good ones. The Texans are missing a little bit of nasty, but it has gotten better. You asked me this question 3 weeks in or in the middle of last year. I just said, this team is in trouble, and they were, even though they still went and won a division. So think if they had that position solidified. It's gotten better. It's still not dominant. And I'm sure the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do all they can. I'm assuming their game plan is to, you'll hear defensive coordinators say, stop the run, stop the run, stop the run. But in truth, it's play in their backfield. And if you're playing in their backfield in the run game, in the pass game, you limit it, because you know how it goes. One score game, even regardless who the favorite is and where you're playing. If it's a one score game late, that's when those defenses will shine. And I fully expect it to be that way in this game, regardless of the score.
You've alluded to it a couple times, Sean. So before we let you run, I just want to ask you what you think the intangibles of the atmosphere, I guess the relative experience, postseason experience, edge on the Steelers side, how do you think the Texans will handle that coming into Monday night? Maybe an extra day to ruminate on it and think about it and think about what it's going to be like. Is this a group of guys, just in general, that you think walking in there with, like I said, the towels twirling, renegade playing, everything going on, will get the best out of them? Or is there a concern that some of them may shrink in the moment, not because they're not good enough and not because they can't handle it, but because they just haven't been in that environment before?
I think that's a great point. Even though they've won the division, it's just different in Pittsburgh. And I know history for some doesn't matter. Hell, there's probably young kids on the team. If I said, hey, man, remember when Franco Harris, Mel Blount, Lynn Swann, and John Stallworth and Bradshaw played, they'd say, who in the hell are you talking about? I remember, and I know, I always say, let's get some history going. So I don't know about that part. I am with you. The intangibles favor the Pittsburgh Steelers. A coach who's been in this situation a million times, who keeps winning, you know, regardless of the surrounding, what's the future like? I'm talking about now. Rodgers, it is Pittsburgh, I think, as good a fans as there is, because you know what to expect as a visitor and as a home team. They want good, hard football, and they don't care if it's pretty. They just want you to win. And so I do think intangibles there now. Now, the other side is, I don't believe in game-to-game momentum, guys, in sports. I just don't. I hold a hole in golf. In-game momentum, sure, but game-to-game confidence. Right now, I would imagine Pittsburgh's feeling pretty good about last week. And the Texans, they're rolling off, what, 9 in a row now. So you get to a point, say, can you get too comfortable saying, hey, we won 9 in a row. We're going in there. We're going to kick their ass. Or is it, yeah, we've won 9 in a row, but don't get too comfortable and breathe a sigh of relief that it is the playoffs. I think intangibles with the most important people in this do matter. And in both sides, you're going to have guys that at certain points of the game choke because of the moment. They just are. The question is, can you limit that and get over it quickly? And you, like you mentioned, if you shrink when you come out there, don't shrink for long. Everybody comes out there and wants to urinate down their leg because they're a little nervous, but you better get back into it immediately. So advantage, home Steelers, yeah. Better team, Texans. More physical right now defensively, the Texans, the number six, they're sitting at the top. Doesn't mean anything when that kicks off. So I do believe playoff and atmosphere matter, and those fans are going to be going nuts. The Texans are going to have to come in and start fast, guys. I'm telling you. Because like in any, you let a team that you're that you think you're supposed to beat hang around, and then you start to look around, you'll say, oh, not again. We've won two divisions and been eliminated after the wild card round. This is an important for the franchise, but it's important for them to test it because the Steelers, there's just an aura about the Steelers, whether they're 2-7 or whether they're the division winner. I think that will come into play for the Texans. They just can't let it last. You've got to realize it. Back at it. If this was game seven, would you treat it the same way? Intensity goes up. How they handle it will be a big part of the intangibles.
Before we let you run, give us a pick and throw a score in there too, if you got one in mind.
You know what I'm going to, and this is not, for people, honestly, this is not a homer pick because I'm not getting paid by the Houston Texans, so I don't care. What I do care is good football. I think it is going to come down and the Texans kicker. I think it's within a touchdown game. I'm going to say the Texans, because their defense forces a turnover or so, that their defense is the reason. I think it's a field goal or a two field goal, one touchdown type game. I'll take the Texans because I just think they're better right now. But I am a little bit of there's concern to me that the Steelers are going to rear their head and move on. I've seen the movie before, and I think the Texans have to guard against a slow start. They'll be in big trouble. But give me the Texans in a close one and maybe in field goal fashion at the end.
Sean, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Check out Unpaved with Sean Salisbury on YouTube. All kinds of great takes on not just the NFL, college ball, absolutely everything in the world of sports. So we appreciate you, man. Thanks again. Enjoy the game Monday night.
Honored to be on. And even though I've never played there, I sure loved going and seeing the fans. What a great place. Great Steeler fans. You guys have a good, I hope it's a great game. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. We appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself. Yes, Sean Salisbury here with us on Kabali and Mac. We appreciate him taking the time.
Yeah. You know, First time in my life I bit my tongue.
Why?
I was going to ask him about the movie Benchwarmers, but I didn't have the balls to.
Why didn't you?
Some people get upset when you mention something like that. I don't know. I thought it was a great movie. I thought he had a tremendous role in it. I thought he was great in that movie. You remember Benchwarmers, right?
It's a classic.
It's freaking hilarious in that movie. it's one of those goofy, stupid, fun movies, right?
Like, it's like
John Sandler, Lovitz.
Does Sandler make an appearance in it? I don't remember.
I think it is. Isn't that a Sandler movie?
No, Benchwarmers is Rob Schneider and David Spade and Napoleon Dynamite. John Ayer. I don't remember. I don't remember a Sandler cameo in it now, Richie, that I think about it. But it's basically the same universe, right? Like, so it's just a stupid, goofy, fun. You should have asked him about it. Come on, sack up, Kabali. What's going on over
there? Whatever. I saw the time clicking away, and I'm like, yeah.
If you're not going to the game on Monday night, the next best place to be, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports, Archie's on Carson, 80-cent wings on Monday night. Every Monday through Thursday night at Archie's, they got 80-cent wings. Perfect for Monday night wild card game against the Texans. Whole menu is delicious. Sandwiches, burgers, flatbreads, all of it. Ice cold iron and icy light on draft. Get you in something good to drink. Maybe you want to party with a mango. Go for it. Get on down there. They got everything you could possibly want for a Steelers playoff game at Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. We appreciate Arch supporting the show. I imagine it'll be buzzing down there on Monday night.
I'm surprised that Sean is not on TV anywhere anymore. He's pretty good at what he does.
He's very good at what he does. And I know he was doing Houston radio for a while too. And he was very good at that. Like, he knows what he's talking about, and he tells you exactly what he thinks. He doesn't sugarcoat anything.
Was he on ESPN? Was he on like Monday game day? I forget.
So long ago now. I remember he would be on.
He was one of the originals, I believe, or at least
him and Hodge.
Back when it was actually talking sports.
Yeah, I mean, but I appreciate Sean taking the time. That was good stuff from him. And he says Texans by a field goal because of the physicality of that defense. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just being a homer or looking at it through black and gold colored glasses, but I really believe the Steelers offensive line is going to stand up well to this Texans pass rush. I'm not saying they're going to keep Rodgers totally clean. Like, they're still going to give up a sack or two, maybe three, but just the way they've looked down the stretch, whether it was without Seumalo, you know, they've gone through injuries. They're down to Dylan Cook now. Dylan Cook is a great at left tackle. Everything where they've had to shuffle things around. I think you throw out that jumbo, that Isley's package that I called it, that jumbo package a couple times. Don't roll your eyes at me, son of a bitch. You roll that out a couple times too and use the backs and tight ends. And I think they got a good chance to win a grinder on Monday night.
Hoagies and grinders, huh? You know, first time in a well, not in a while, but I told you what Tomlin was yapping about the defensive line, but then I walked a couple feet to the left and Arthur Smith was mother effing the offensive line about, you know, being on their P's and Q's, so to speak. I'm like, damn, how many times is he going to cuss? So what I'm saying, what the point is they're really cognizant of line play this week.
They should be, but yeah, I think
it's the most I've seen in them really, you know. And, you know, another thing is just cracks me up about, you know, Tomlin's tired and he wants to give it up because he's wore out. Man, just go to one of those practices and man, you would change your mind instantly. Just how he goes about his business, but you know,
I obviously have only been to a fraction, a minuscule percentage of practices over the Tomlin era that you have been to. You've been to thousands at this point. I've been to maybe a few dozen over the years. And I will agree, like when you see Mike Tomlin in person coaching up his team at practice, that is a guy that loves ball. I've said that to people before. He's just a ball guy. He just wants to talk ball. He doesn't care about anything else. Ball. And I do understand what you're saying about that. Like, the guy is just thirsty for football. I'm not going to argue that. I do still wonder if they lose Monday night. And look, there's been a lot of smoke. I don't know if there's necessarily fire. But if he loses Monday night and all the groundswell of fire Tomlin comes right back up to the surface and his buddy Jay out in L.A. calls him Glazer, and he's like, Mike, we could have you on set for X number of dollars. They're asking me about you. And before you know it, a year or two off doing TV might wash away all the bad tastes, all the bad memories of not winning a playoff game in the last 9 years.
You keep telling yourself that.
Okay. Then where's the smoke coming from? You think it's just people speculating?
You know, a former
speculation.
Well, a former person who used to cover the Steelers just wrote that Tomlin might leave, but if he doesn't, he's going to stay. So you tell me. You tell me.
I mean, you can't be wrong either way if you report it that way.
That's the whole point. I mean, once they drop stuff in that says people that are intimate with Tomlin, I'm like, okay, delete. Yeah, he's going to go to you and somebody else is going to. No, I mean, No.
Okay. Well, no. There you go.
I just don't think that would interest him whatsoever. Zero. Maybe the $25 million for one day a week work would interest him, but
yeah,
I think he would just get bored out of his gourd instantly.
And then once he gets bored after a year or two, he takes a job somewhere else.
Yeah,
he gets paid a boatload.
I don't know if he loves himself as much as Sean Payton loves himself to do something like that.
Nobody loves themselves as much as Sean Payton, I don't think, in the coaching ranks.
Shit.
All right, before we wrap up, we got to make picks. You, sir, are 7 games behind me in our picks. Yeah. After
once again, I think once
238 picks, you are.
I don't believe you.
7 back, and we have got 13 games left in the season. Is that right? 1, 2, 3. Thirteen games left for you to make up 7 in the standings, so you don't have to dye your hair and your beard. By the way,
I just shave. I don't give a shit.
Okay. So, are you ready to make picks for this weekend?
Super. How about if I say no? Wild card weekend. It's not super wild card. It's just wild card weekend.
No, I still call it super.
Well, you still call it three.
Still super to me. Damn it. So let's start tomorrow afternoon. Rams, Panthers. Is there any way in the world the Panthers can upset the Rams?
You know what? I'm shocked at. I see a lot of people picking the Rams come out of the NFC, and what are they? The 6 seed, 5 seed.
Yeah.
Davante Adams means that much of a difference. I know they went in there and were shocked by him, but I would be shocked if they lost twice within a month to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, I wonder what the record is overall of teams 7-9 and making the playoffs in the first round. Can't be good.
I did see something. I saw something.
Or, you know, under 500.
Yeah, I saw something a couple weeks ago about the teams, I want to say it was under 500 division champs hosting a wild card game.
All you have to do is look at the NFC South and the AFC South, and
basically, yeah.
Well, I guess the West one time. I think didn't the Seahawks win one time?
Yeah, I think the Seahawks won a division at 7-9 one year, didn't they?
There's no way the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl at 7-9, slammy.
No, that wasn't their Super Bowl.
They were like 13-3 that year, I believe.
I can't find the stat that I had about wild card teams.
You mean you can't find the stat that somebody else posted and you were going to
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to sit here and take credit for it, man. Please.
This is the segment when Mac pretends to write the picks down. Exactly.
Shut up. Just because you can't pick games. Why don't you tell me again how the Raiders are going to the playoffs?
Well, you know what? We can pull up your Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl.
You had them going too.
Well, I'm a terrible picker, right? So it shouldn't apply to you.
What are you? So you,
if you were all Mr. Know It All,
make fun of yours.
If you were all Know It All, you wouldn't have picked the same thing.
I never said I was a Know It All. I'm just better than you, which is a low bar to clear. All right,
Justine say not Justin says, just fudge him.
I ain't fudging nothing. You just suck at picks. So Rams, Panthers, who you got?
The Rams.
Rams.
Ooh, I'll pick the Rams too.
I mean, I'm not going out on a limb by picking the Rams to beat the Panthers. Honestly.
Actually, Mac uses crayons. He uses crayons and post-it notes. Look at these post-it. Pink post-it notes. Let's see him.
Pink post-it there you go. Right there. There's my pencil.
My goodness.
I don't see you keeping track.
Oh, Kabali and Mag, nothing but the best, right? Post-it notes with little scribbled lines.
I don't see you keeping track. Where are your notes?
Right here, brother.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Do you want me to pick first so that you could have the advantage?
Or
do
you want me to pick second? Another thing. That's another thing that went under the radar. You always pick second.
No. I started picking first like the first 6 weeks of the year, and then you bitched and moaned and whined and complained about it.
I don't believe it.
So do you want to pick first or second?
You get
the option. You won the coin toss. You get the option. Would you like to defer or not?
I want to pick first. No, baby. I want to pick second.
You want to pick second?
Wow, at this point of the season, yeah.
Okay, fine. We're both on the Rams. You can go second from here on out. Packers, Bears.
I think Packers.
Let me finish. Uh-huh. I think Jordan Love's going to be rusty. I think the Bears defense is not great, but opportunistic when they need to be. And I think Ben Johnson is a great head coach. I am taking the Bears.
I'm taking the Packers.
Okay. So there you go.
See? Bears are one of those year away. Because next year they'll do the old Washington Commanders and go 4-13. Then they'll have it. it tends to happen, doesn't it? Take that step back before you take the step forward. After I don't like the Bears. I don't like the Bears. Packers will win.
They probably don't like you either. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock in Jacksonville, Jags against the Bills. I tried to cook up a few different scenarios for this one where the Bills don't win, but I can't see it. I think James Cook's going to go off. I think as long as Allen doesn't turn the ball over multiple times, the Bills should win fairly comfortably. So I'm on Buffalo.
I hate Jacksonville, but I think knowing that you pick Buffalo, I'll pick Jacksonville.
Wow. See, this is what happens. You get behind and you try to make up ground and then you make dumb picks. Afternoon game on Sunday is the Niners at the Eagles out in Philly. San Francisco's defense has survived a bunch of injuries, but I don't know how much longer they can do it. I think it's the perfect prescription. Thank you. Perfect prescription for the Eagles to have a Saquon game. Don't let Hurt screw up. Don't try to overfeed A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Just feed it to Saquon and let him win the game. So I'll take the Eagles.
The Eagles. Let me think here. This is a great, great radio moment here.
Yeah, this is enthralling. What are you thinking about? Eagles 49ers. Don't hurt yourself. I see the smoke coming out of your ear.
Well, it's not like it's not a pick'em game, so we'll go with 49ers.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Eagles at first, but you're going to go with the 49ers. Okay.
I'll go with the 49ers. Brock Purdy's better than Jalen Hurts. McCaffrey's better than Barkley. Kittle's better
mystery
than...
Mystery has been, yeah. Okay.
Dallas Goedert.
Sunday night up in Foxborough, Massachusetts, the Chargers, Justin Herbert, visit the New England Patriots, Vrabel, May, Diggs, the whole thing. You say it all the time, so I'll just steal it straight from you. What the hell has Justin Herbert ever won? Mm-hmm. I don't think the Patriots are as good as their record indicates, but I don't think the Chargers definitely aren't as good as their record indicates. I think the Patriots take care of business at home.
Yeah, I'll go with the Patriots as well, even though I don't think they're very good either. But since you like steal my thunder about Justin Herbert, so.
I mean, it's true. He's one or two more playoff losses away from becoming, and I know this is going to sting for a lot of Yinzers, he's one or two more playoff losses away from becoming his generation's Dan Marino. Big numbers. Talented guy.
Wow. Dan Marino put up game-altering numbers.
He did, and Herbert.
Herbert hasn't.
I think Herbert is a very talented quarterback.
He ain't no Dan Marino.
Very good. Well, what I mean is he's never going to win in the playoffs.
He ain't going to throw 48 touchdowns.
Dan Marino won more than one game in a playoff season once. This is his second year in the league. That's it. I mean, maybe it's the team around him. I don't know. But we're both on the Patriots. All right. Monday night. Ooh, this is a big one. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Texans, Steelers. Since I have to go first, I'll go first. I think it is a tight physical ball game, like our guest Sean Salisbury pointed out. And I think I finally get my Chris Boswell walk-off field goal to win a game. 23-20 Steelers on a last-second field goal by Boz to make up for last week's missed extra point.
Well, I think the Steelers season comes to a halt.
Oh, no.
I'm picking the Houston Texans 21-17.
No more Rodgers magic?
Mind you, I'm wrong every single week, so.
It's a good point.
That should help you out. That should help you all out.
I mean, if these games don't go your way in the picks contest, I'm just going to bury you. It's going to be over. It'll be clinched.
Oh, yay.
And we can celebrate the first anniversary of Kabali and Mac next Tuesday, maybe with you dyeing your beard and your hair jet black. What do you think of that?
I still think you're made up, fudged the numbers. But
nothing's fudged. It's all legit. You can go back. You go back through every episode, check all the picks, check them against the records, the outcomes, now, the wins and the losses.
Now, instead of just saying, okay, we'll see you next time, you're going to play Here We Go to...
No, I did it to start the show. I'm not going to do it again to close the show.
Why not?
Guys, I mean, come on. You don't want to wear it out. If we're going to have a nice long...
Oh, you're not going to wear out Here We Go. Really?
Here we go.
Wait, by the way, is...
Steelers. Here we go.
You know how the kids wear their black and gold Steelers stuff and adults wear it to school on Friday? Does that push it back to a Monday?
I think so, because there was nothing about it today when... Before the kids left for school.
What I'm saying is, you know, downtown. Are they like walking in the...
Oh, like are they having like a rally at the city county building or something like they do?
That crowd. I'm talking about people that work down there. They're allowed to wear their black and gold.
Probably got to save it for Monday.
Monday? It's the Monday day? Okay.
I mean, I go to work in sweatpants sometimes, so it doesn't really matter to me. To people with real jobs?
But you know why? Because you're not really that country. That's why.
I've heard. That's going to do it for this Friday's game preview edition of Cabale and Mac. We will be back after the game on Monday night, hopefully with some celebratory IC lights, hopefully getting you ready for a divisional round matchup against, I don't know, New England, Jacksonville, who knows, Denver, doesn't matter. But if they win, we will be happy. If they lose, we'll have a lot to talk about as well. So we'll talk to Yins on Monday night. We appreciate every single one of you supporting the show, and we'll see you then. Enjoy your weekend, your super wild card weekend, and the game on Monday night. We'll talk to you afterwards.